Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and welcome back to the Thanksgiving holiday. We all have to go on a diet now. We've once again popped the seams on our jeans or our whatever. And, of course, always good to eat like the world is coming to an end. But, unfortunately, that weight's got to come back off again. And here we are on Cyber Monday. But, you know, there's so many things going on that, you know, I think the first is this ridiculous recount that's going on in the election. You know, the Jill Stein, the Green Party is, for whatever unbeknownst reason, is bringing up more crap. And of course, is it not better to just move on and see what we can do as what we have now? I mean, you know, we look at what's going on. And what we have is we have problems. We have, as Strother Martin said to Paul Newman Cool Hand Luke, we have a failure to communicate. And again, this is the number one problem here, is that we have a failure to communicate because we've got so many different things going on at one time, and we try to make so much of it so public and so ridiculous, and you've got people on both sides of any issue that are arguing, and it's time to move on. It's time to, as Donald Trump likes to say, make America great again. And what it really means is it's time to do the right thing. It's time to see what we have here, what we can get done. And of course, the stock markets have loved what the Donald has had to say, and with good reason. You know, freeing up regulations on banks. You can see that the financials have handled it very well. But what that really will mean, if he can really get it done, will mean we can possibly see a lot more small business coming back into the force, which would mean, oh, maybe jobs. How about that? We'd actually have some better jobs. So now you could actually see the pay scale tip up, okay? Because when companies are making money, they're happy to pay. And again, that would bring in more competition, more jobs, and all of a sudden we could see a turnaround. Now, again, it cannot happen that quickly, but you know, because startups take time. But at the end of the day, we could see the start of something new. And that would be, there would be nothing better for the United States of America than to see some growth in jobs, some growth in new business, because what that would mean is people would make more money. We would have a competitive job market, which means that employers would have to pay more to get the people that they want to get. Now, isn't that simple? But that's what our current administration doesn't get that. They're just worried about the minimum wage. You know, it's amazing when job opportunities are out there, the minimum wage takes care of itself. Nobody cares. Nobody's talking about minimum wage when we have a good job market. And that is what I think, and I can see that looks like we're trying to head towards. Now, will it work? I don't know. I think that it will. I think that, again, when you live in what we had was in, well, we still have because it isn't over yet, but an overregulated society, okay, which, you know, basically everybody's got to, you know, worry about compliance and other issues, okay, I think that created a much bigger problem because it took away the entrepreneurial spirit of the small business. It took away the desire for companies to hire more people because there was so much crap that had to be dealt with at such a high cost. Why would anybody want to get involved? Okay, this goes back to the entire Obamacare, the overregulations of the banks, the Dodd-Frank Act, and all these other things. Because again, when you force people to have to spend more money on things that are unimportant and that have no value to their business, it keeps people from going into business. It keeps people out. Because at the end of the day, what do we have? Okay, we've got a mountain full of regulations in where we have to pay people to do things that are unimportant and bring in value. You know, when you're an employer, one thing you always look for, I mean, obviously we have to hire people that cannot bring in value because you have to have, you know, a bookkeeper, which, I mean, there's value there, but I mean, it can't create, it can't pay its own salary, typically. So what we want to have is we want to have, when we hire, we want to hire people that can actually go out and get sales, bring in money that basically they finance their own salary by the work that they do. Okay. And that when you create more sales or whatever, that's what you're trying to do. And that's the great part of being an employer is when you can get enough of those employees because you know you have to have a lot of employees that are basically just outflow with no inflow. Now, again, they're necessary. But then if you add to that a compliance officer that has to make a lot of money, okay, now what have you done is you've now created a position that has absolutely no value. And not only does it have no value, but it will then prevent you from making more money. It will prevent you from hiring people. It will prevent you from trying to grow your business. So when we put together all this prevention, what do we end up with? A mess, which is what we have right now. And that is one of the things that we have to be very hopeful for. That a lot of these regulations and a lot of these regulators will go by the wayside. Because I got to tell you something. They don't do what their intended job is. They're just another offshoot of another government organization that does not do what their job is designed to do. Okay, they make it easy for themselves and they pick on the low-hanging fruit. So that they have to, you know, get their fines and do their job. But when it comes down to taking care of the real potential troublemakers, it doesn't, the work never gets done because the real potential troublemakers have enough money to tell them to go screw off. And that, again, becomes the overall bigger problem. So if we are going to certainly grow and make America great again and get these are the things that need to be changed. And I think we are on the proper path now to see a lot of these things start to work in our favor. Get rid of government, bring in more jobs, put more pressure on the states to take care of their things, and get rid of big portions of the federal government. Those are things that would be better so that we would actually see potentially that we could actually maybe even work by a budget. It is scary at the way things are going, but hopefully those things will start to turn around quickly here. And we will get started into the new year with a very, very positive spin on everything and see action being taken care of that will actually put this country back in the position of what it belongs, which is the most powerful. It still is, but the best in the world. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, you know where you got to go, right? LibertyTalk.fm, the only station you need. But in the meantime, download the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge at LibertyTalk.fm. In the meantime, check out BubbaTrading.com as we get prepared and have some new programs going into the first year. We're going to step out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the very talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and all about town, smart about everything. What do you say, Jane?
Oh, just, bracing for the holiday season. We went to the Macy's Parade yesterday, and that was great fun. And it was a good way to spend Thanksgiving and just, ready to do some shopping, I guess.
Are you going to do shopping online, or are you going to do shopping in the stores?
And I'm going to do both. I've done a little bit of shopping online already. But I do really enjoy going to especially small stores in the neighborhood. And they have unique things. I would find something that I couldn't find at a Target or a Walmart. And so I enjoy doing that, too. So I may do that on Small Business Saturday.
Now, how many people do you think, shopping on Black Friday and mall shopping, used to be like an event, right? You'd go with friends or whatever, family, and you'd spend the day like in the mall, kind of just milling around and shopping and all that. How many people, what percentage do you still think do that and create an event out of it?
I think that, it's definitely down. I mean, it's changed. Like, the whole Black Friday thing has changed completely over the past 5 years. It used to be, and I knew people that would go stand in line at 3 a.m. and would actually do it, like, for fun. I mean, they'd be like college kids. They'd hang out, they'd bring, like, food, they'd have a tent, and they'd go in and buy electronics, and it was just a thing that they did. But I think, for most people, it didn't really, that wasn't really part of the plan. But I think it's just part of the whole thing. Now, I have noticed something recently, this year more than others, I just find it a little more pleasurable to shop, to be out in stores. I don't know if, like, the whole online thing just got a little too impersonal and a little, and the stores are doing a better job, I think, of making the experience better. They have extra things, music, and so forth. So I'm just finding it a little more pleasurable to actually be out and in a store. Probably wouldn't do it on Black Friday, but sometime over the holiday season, it's a nice thing to do. It's a nice thing to do with the family or your daughter or whatever.
No, I get it. I mean, I don't go to stores anymore, but I was never a big Black Friday shopper. I was never a big shopper to begin with, but the only Black Fridays I ever went to was when my kids were younger, and they would have one special item that they would be selling at a toy store that everybody wanted, and you had to be there at 3 a.m. And of course, I'm up anyway, so it was no big deal, right? I was going there anyway, so it was easy to do. But what's your guess, okay, on the retail sales for this Christmas season? What do you think it's going to be? Disappointing? Better than expected? What's your take of this whole situation?
I think they're going to be slightly better than expected. I think the retailers are doing a better job. I think there's tons of deals out there. I think people are a little more optimistic. I think they've watched what the market has done since the election in particular. We got the election behind us. We're not distracted by that. I think there's some pent-up demand, too. There's some decent products. My son wants a new Xbox. I mean, I think the retailers have finally kind of figured this out a little bit better. And I wouldn't be surprised. I know the National Retail Federation calling for 3.6% increase this year. I think it might be 3.8, maybe a little better than what was expected.
It could be. But I think now, even though things are starting to look brighter from a theory standpoint, I mean, they're really not much brighter from an actual reality standpoint. I mean, we still have, people not really making enough money. Of course, people tend to like overspend a little bit into the Christmas season because they want to make sure everybody's happy. But I'm almost starting to think that we're going to start to see people, even if they're starting to do better, if they were struggling before, they're going to really be a little bit tighter on that wallet and not really want to release so much cash, because we never know if this problem is going to really go away or we're going to go back into it again. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's the whole confidence thing. And I've been dealing with that for a few years. I mean, I think people recognize the job market's changing. You can't count on things like you used to. I mean, years are full of surprises and you have to adjust. So, there'll still be some cautiousness for sure. And I think there's just in general, just kind of a little bit of a backlash against materialism, too. And just people just realize, like, stuff isn't happiness. And so I think that, all that together, we'll keep the lid on it. But I still think people are going to be out and enjoying things and maybe even buying experiences. Like, I've seen more people, instead of just buying things or buying you know, a little trip or something to do with your family or a meal out or something like that. So I think those are the things we'll do well this year.
All right. Now, so if I say to you, we're going to Dow 1 million, what do you think?
Well, let's get to 20,000 first, which is, gosh, certainly possible. I mean, we're heading into December, and that's typically a great month for stocks. We've had a strong November, and we'll see if Santa Claus brings his rally again this year.
It is amazing that we have basically gone up every day since Donald Trump has been elected, from the all the predictions of market collapse and the world would fall apart. And I have to say, whether you're a fan of Donald Trump or not, I think he's done a pretty good job of communicating a message to the American people. And I think he's really toned down his own personal rhetoric. And I think he's, so far, I mean, he hasn't done anything, but his message, I think, is pretty good. And I think he's showing some true leadership. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, again, whether you like him or not, I think you just have to admire his work ethic and energy. He's tweeting on Thanksgiving about how he's talking to Carrier about keeping them in Indiana. I mean, I don't recall a president ever doing that. I mean, they'll do their, you know, turkey pardon and maybe give some kind of canned Thanksgiving address. But he's out there actually, like, doing some work. And so I think people admire that. I think it's a good example for people. I have learned from him just in terms of work and not giving up. Oh, my goodness. Like, who could have lived through what he went through and not, like, hid under a desk and suck their thumb? He was taking incoming from all over the place. So I think, you know, again, I mean, whether you agree with him politically, whether, you know, you're annoyed by the things he's done and said, you still have to admire just his work ethic and his sheer energy level.
And I do personally believe that that's one of the things that we've lost over the years, and not just over the Obama administration, but over the past, I don't know, let's say 20 years, that the work ethic of Americans has really kind of slipped into just like, well, we'll go to work, we'll do our job, we'll come home, and we won't worry about it. And I think we have lost a lot of the pride of ownership of really trying to do the best job we can possibly do. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I totally agree. I mean, I think that, it all of a sudden became kind of acceptable to not have to work. And that was something that people thought was okay, and some people were destined for that, and they didn't have to do it, and everybody felt sorry for them, and they still deserved money anyway. And, there's certain people, of course, you know, if you're disabled, I mean, if you're elderly, I mean, if you're young, I mean, obviously, those people are not going to work. But if you're able-bodied, you need to be out there doing something. And, you know, there were so many things wrong, I think, about the way that President Obama set out the whole work and how, you know, what people had to do. And I think it started the schools. I mean, the backing of the teachers union, that set a bad precedent. And then just, you know, the unending payments for unemployment insurance. It went on for like, you know, 90 weeks or something. I mean, just all that, I think, just made it seem more acceptable for people to make excuses.
And speaking of education, let's get an update on the Jane King Financial Literacy for Children. How's that going?
Okay, so a couple of really cool podcasts. So we just published one earlier this week. I was really trying to take advantage of the 44 million people who are on the roads and hoping I could get a small fraction of those people to listen. But we talked to Adam Levin, expert on the planet on cybersecurity, and so interesting in terms of just social media and how much information that kids put out there, geotags and photographs and where they are and what they like to do and social security numbers. I mean, little babies get social security numbers now, and how parents don't even realize that a baby's ID has been taken and accounts have been set up in their name. So anyway, he's so, so interesting about this. And then we've got another one coming up that we're going to be recording soon with a friend of mine who's a former editor of Bloomberg Businessweek about media literacy and how it ties into financial literacy. And there's a Stanford study that 80% of 14-year-olds can't recognize a fake news story on Facebook. So we're going to be talking about that and what can parents do to teach their kids to be a little more skeptical and to learn about resources and research and how news stories are put together.
And that's why Jane King always brings good things to life, because she's got it. She understands it. The Ka-Ching Report, Lila Max Media. Make sure you check her out. Jane King, thank you so much. Enjoy it. And I'm glad that you can always be a part of the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Todd.
That's our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, who always brings good things to light here on The Bubba Show. And, of course, when you miss one of my shows, and how dare you, LibertyTalk.fm will allow you to download not only The Bubba Show, but The Sporting Edge on the weekends. In the meantime, you got to check out BubbaTrading.com, and you want to get a feel for what I'm thinking, because I write it, and we got a lot of good things for you. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz stepping out for break. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And what the heck is going on in the world of oil and the world of commodities? And my God, Magnum, what the hell are we talking about here? And of course, you know, we look at the oil markets, and, you know, you continue to hear these idiotic pundits talk about oil and how OPEC is going to, you know, either stall production, cut production, or freeze production. But the real question is, who gives a crap of what OPEC does? Has everybody lost their mind and imagination? We have no need to be part of OPEC. We have no need for their oil. We do not have to, if we didn't want to, import oil. Okay. But yet, it's the common topic. And, of course, we saw a fairly dramatic rise in oil before failing at the end of last week a little bit. But, again, you are talking about a pure speculation play that people are actually betting on what OPEC does, and nobody really cares. We are. You have to remember one very, very important thing here, okay? Markets typically are well ahead of the news and the reports that come out. And in my opinion, nobody gives a rat's ass about OPEC and what they're going to do. So does it matter how much oil they're going to pump or not pump? No, it does not, in my opinion. I believe that this is one of the biggest farces ever, but yet you have pundit after pundit going on TV telling you that, oh my God, OPEC my ass. When are we going to realize that, A, we don't need them, number one. Number two, all the sensationalism drama of trying to force prices higher. And why are we forcing prices higher? So maybe, you know, Goldman Sachs, who called for a higher target, maybe they can sell it, okay? And maybe some of these stories are like a plant, okay, to force things, you know, and don't put it beyond anybody to put news out there. You know, you go and look in these chat rooms, okay, and you don't think that there's pump and dump schemes going on there. I mean, you know, you have to, you know, one of the worst things about technology is that there's so many ways that you can create false news or, you know, information that really is not part of an existence, and yet we continue to buy into it, and we continue to see. Because why? Because so many people are desperate to get that one big score, and we continue to be able to take advantage of that greed. And of course, as we know, in all walks of life, the con men or con people always know how to take advantage of the greed. And when you allow that to continue to happen, okay, when you allow yourself to be trapped in, and we've all done it. We've all, listen, you know, I go back in this business to the 80s, you know, before information flowed so quickly. And, you know, hot stock, you know, nobody knows. You realize you better put yourself in line to, if you're getting a hot tip, that you're only the 1 millionth person to get that hot tip. And, you know, these are no different than the old-fashioned racetrack touts or the sporting touts now, that if you're a sports bettor, that you have everybody who's unbelievable record. Everybody's hitting 80%, but yet they're selling their service. You know, it's amazing when you look at some of the numbers that people claim, okay? And you wonder, well, why, if you're so good, why would you sell it, okay? And that's something that I always deal with and have a problem with. You know, you get a sports service hitting 80%. Well, first of all, that's impossible, number one. Number two, they only give you false information of where you could have maybe done something, and there's always playing around with the lines and all this other stuff. And that's really what we look at in the general investing world, okay? You know, the key to the investing world is understanding, A, how the markets function, what they do, and B, understanding how to be disciplined enough to, when you do make a bad trade, you take the losses and you move on, versus, you know, trying to hold and press up. You know, we as investors and traders have a tendency to try to make mistakes about taking something we plan to be a trade, and because it was a bad one, we turn it into an investment. And when we make an investment and it turns out to be good, we turn it into a trade, which is completely the opposite of what you want to do. But again, the real key to success in the trading world, the investing world, is the ability to be disciplined enough to take your losses. Because I will tell you this, there is no way to avoid losses at certain points in time. But the idea is to have smaller losses and larger gains so that you can move up your equity curve without hurting yourself, okay? And knowing, but the first thing you have to know is, I don't care how good you are, okay? You're going to take a loss on a trade at some point. You are probably going to take a loss on a lot of trades at some point. But the idea is may your drawdowns or your losses always be less than your overall gains, okay? That's the key, okay, to making yourself a successful trader and investor and things like that. But, of course, we then get the geniuses that tell us, oh, yeah, this is the hottest thing ever, turn 4,000 into 4 million. Right, really? Okay. And anybody who believes that, you know, you can buy the bridge for me because I'll be happy to sell it to you. Of course, I don't believe in it that way. I believe in exactly what I'm talking to you about right now, that markets, any type of investing has to be done with diligence, with discipline, with patience, trying to find the right opportunity that suits you. One of the things you have to make sure is if you're investing with tight money or money that you're maybe stepping over the line a little bit with, that has to be in something that is liquid, that you can get out if you're wrong, okay, versus something that is illiquid. Because there are a lot of good illiquid investments out there, but not if you're going to need the money. Okay. So you have to take the time to discipline yourself, to put yourself into the best position, not to make all the money in the world, but to defend the capital that you have so that you can grow that capital over time. But what happens to most is they pour in to the markets. They pour into whatever the hot investment is that their friends are whispering about or they're hearing about at the golf course. And of course, they pour their dough in. And of course, now something goes wrong. And we all have a tendency to be a little bit too emotional. And we get fear and we get greedy. We need to get out. And we go, get me out. I don't care. I want out. And of course, as soon as you get out, 2 days later, the investment starts to work exactly as you had projected. But you have to be very careful, okay, of whether you are in a liquid market or an illiquid market, and understand the type of investment that you're making, okay? Because in investing, it is about being able to either hedge and hold, okay, or be ready to get out if you need to do so. And I can't warn enough that all of you take heed in what I'm telling you here, because this is the facts, okay? The stock markets go up year over year. They don't go up every year. The first thing you want to look for is you want to be in something that is fundamentally strong. In other words, not going to go out of business. You don't want to buy it just for that reason. You want to wait for a technical reason to get it, go ahead and get in there and buy it. But you want to make sure that you found something that is going to be in business when we do go into a rough patch. Because, again, I know I've said this before, but you can bet your ass that we are going to go into a rough patch in this economy, maybe not this economy, but in the stock market. Okay, and the key is having stocks and investments that are strong enough to withstand a collapse. Because, again, it's not a prediction of any other reason that we've gone up straight up. And at some point, there has to be that type of sell-off. This is just in the natural order. You know, it's almost like the circle of life, okay? You know, we get these points of extreme exuberation and we get these points of extreme despair. And in between, we have markets that churn. But overall, remember, nobody cares as much about your money as you do, okay? And nobody is going to be looking out for you. And I urge you yourself to research, to look out for yourself. And if you have interests in some of the services that are out there, I have no problem. Make sure you research them and not from the information that you get from them. Because, of course, it's like asking for a reference. Would I ever give you a bad reference? Right? And that is something that needs to be watched very closely to the innocent, unsuspecting investor who's just trying to get along and make it a little bit more extra money so that their retirement years and their it will be better and finer. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm is the only station that you'll need for all of your entertainment needs. In fact, if you want, I might even come and sing for you. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. So make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com, and we're going to step out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Show that never ends. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and you know, I don't know. I think the investors have lost their mind. As I wrote last week, investors have gone bonkers. You know, when you start seeing money go into markets crazily, and I can't say that they've gone any more crazy like this. We've been up 12 days in a row. Okay. If you go back to the Wednesday, November 9th. Okay. Today is the 28th, right, with the one holiday in between. Of the open days, the markets were up every single day, going in parabolic regions to the moon like they could never go down again. But this is there is going to be a point in time where sellers will step up, and not because they're bearish, not because they think the markets are going to collapse, but because there's going to be a price that you're going to want to sell, okay? Again, if you just break markets down into the simple price discovery model, okay, and that's what we look at, the simple price discovery model. When you're pushing assets so that were already overpriced and you continue to push them higher, okay, you're going to at some point find willing sellers. And when the willing sellers come in, remember the chain of events that happen in any market, okay? The chain is simple, okay? When the market's going up, buyers buy, sellers sell, but buyers become a tad more aggressive and they push markets a little bit higher, okay? And as they push, you know, you may or may not get more selling. And at some point, you could see them push a little bit too far and some heavy sellers will come back and push them back down. Or you could trigger some buying and the market could explode higher. Okay, but at some point, there is going to be new money that's going to come in from the sell side. But what you have to understand, okay, is that at some point, we have to stop going up, and at some point, we have to stop going down. Now, you can then equate and bring in valuations, but we have been overvalued for a substantial amount of time here, yet the markets are still climbing higher. But what happens is when the markets start to sell off a little bit, that will trigger more selling. You know, buying kind of begets buying because nobody wants to miss out on the next big thing, and selling begets selling, okay? And what will happen is as these interest rates continue to rise, and geez Louise, we're just flying in the interest rate market because the bond future are getting hammered, you will start to see more people want to, A, move out of the stock market and go back into the banks as soon as the banks start to raise their interest rates. And you're going to see that the selling will be get some selling because people don't want to be stuck holding the bag. And, of course, we start to see a battle for the bottom. Like right now, we're seeing a battle for the top. And again, I don't know when it's going to end. And certainly, it'll end. It will go down, and then it will rally again. Again, you just have to remember the cycles of the market. But don't be one of those people chasing the markets higher right here. And I'm not thinking to sell them either, okay? Remember, we don't recommend, you know, trying to pick the top or the bottom. What we tell you is that, hey, probability-wise, we're probably pretty near the top here, okay? Now, we can go higher. There's no reason to believe that it can't go higher. But do you want to be an aggressive buyer into a market that has gone basically straight up and knowing that the same problems that we had before the election still exist after the election, okay? So we know that nothing has really changed from that standpoint. We know that we have an economy that is weak. We also know that we have a president-elect right now that believes that he can make them stronger, and certainly his initial plans have shown that that is certainly a possibility. But you have to remember now, okay, the markets have already priced in a dramatic amount of change, but how long is it going to take to get to that change? Okay, so if you take what many considered, me included, as a market that was already overvalued, and then you continue to pound more on top of it, at some point, it's got to say, maybe we're just a little bit too far. But this happens in all markets. This does not just happen in the stock market. I mean, if you look at some of the agricultural spaces right now, you've got, cattle markets are exploding to the upside. Well, not both, but the fat cattle or live cattle has been going straight up. Now, again, at some point, this is going to take a break, and there's going to be some selling coming in because we've had, you know, a 20% rally already. And again, this is what you have. This is the give and take of understanding how the market function works. But the investors right now, most are like sheep. They will follow the herd, and they know that this is the easy money, no different than the housing bubble, no different than the internet bubble. It's the easy money. How can I lose? How could the market ever go down? Because this time has to be different. Look at what's happening in the face of everything. The markets are going straight up. Okay, it has to be different this time. And of course, we know that the markets are never different. We know that business is never different. And this is where I urge everybody to take a look at your own business or your own career and see the peaks and valleys that you've had in there, knowing that a stock market is no different than any business. Businesses have peaks and valleys, okay? They have periods of extreme strength, and then they have some periods of weakness. And like anything else, it's about keeping the weakness to a minimum and losing the least amount of money there, or, you know, making more than you're trying to make. And when it's good, is really pounding it and really taking care of it. So when you look at it, you will see, and if you take that same market relationship to a business relationship, you'll see that everything kind of acts the same way. Okay, you get very few disconnects between company growth and stock markets. Okay, but again, now we have to see a lot of this growth that we have not seen yet, but we think is coming. But don't be one of those people that just continues to pour in because it's easy and it's stealing, because it's never stealing. And one of the sad stories I can always tell is, you know, what many people don't remember is that in the internet bubble, when people were making a lot of money, you know, buying and selling stocks, and then they finally got cracked, okay, most of them still had tax obligations. So not only did they lose the money, they had tax obligations that had to be paid, okay? And that is something that you have to remember, okay? This is no business is stealing, okay? And if you try to believe that you can outsmart the overall market, you will find out that you will be not a very happy person. You will not be a happy camper. So don't get too excited by the Cyber Monday sales and the Black Friday sales. And, you know, how much, you know, they're going to report, because who knew? God knows what they're going to report. But, you know, it doesn't matter. That's the point. The point is diligence, discipline, money management, and patience are what matter. Those are the things that are going to make you a better trader, a better investor, and some of you can compete in this market and allow yourself to be successful, versus those who continue to chase the rumor, to chase the big stuff. Because at the end of it, you watch and look, and it always comes down to the money. Follow the money. Okay, look where the big money is going. And you know that, you know, again, the big money's been wrong for a little bit here. But again, they're going to put more into it. How much longer are they going to be wrong? And again, we're not recommending ever trying to pick the top or the bottom. What we're recommending is that you sit back and you relax. Okay. And let this time pass. Okay, if you're in, great. You know, hedge it or set some stops and protect. But if you're bringing fresh new money here and trying to chase this, I would say you're going to be in for a little bit of an upsetting time at some point here fairly soon. And you're going to have to be forced to make a decision that you're probably not going to want to make. But one decision you always want to make is to come by the Bubba Show every single day, Monday through Friday, and the Sporting Edge on Saturday. In the meantime, you go to libertytalk.fm when you miss, and you can go ahead and download the show, and as well as get a lot of your other programming needs done for you right at libertytalk.fm. In the meantime, go to bubbatrading.com and check out what we're doing, what we're writing about, and some of the new things we're doing. We're going to do a hedging webinar this Saturday, so maybe you want to get involved in that. Check it out on the website. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much.
Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.